This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Ron, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Neil. Happy to be here.
Ron, I first wanted to talk about Congress real quick first, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Your thoughts about where we stand with the one great bill?
Well, you know, the one great bill, or as some people have called it, the one beautiful bill.
Beautiful bill. I'm sorry. I mislabeled it.
I've lost my track of the adjectives here, but essentially what this is that it's a budget reconciliation matter that can be passed with a majority of the Senate, which means that it is passable by the Republicans in the Senate. Trump is loading up onto it, and as are Republicans in Congress, a lot of things that are germane to the bill. That they think they can get done. They want to push as much, you know, use this as a vehicle to carry as much legislation as they possibly can without needing a 60-vote majority in the Senate. So ultimately, they will likely pass, you know, a one big beautiful bill. Exactly what it has in it, we don't know. But even though there's some tough Republican potential opposition in the House based on certain different issues, I think they'll probably work a lot of that out and get a bill to the Senate. And I think they can probably pass it if they try not to overreach and go too far.
What would an overreach for you look like? I mean, I know you're probably familiar with some of the provisions in this bill. A lot of the tax relief seems to be getting some pushback as for some that may be the dividing line, but where the overreach is.
Yeah. You know, anytime you're dealing with taxes, it's easy to overreach, and it's also easy to end up giving tax relief to certain constituencies that may not be so popular, and not giving them the constituencies that are popular. I mean, one of the things that Trump promised when he won was that he would eliminate taxes on tips, which was, of course, very popular among people in the hospitality and restaurant and bar industry, and use that to win the state of Nevada, for example. He's also promised to eliminate income taxes on Social Security income, which is frankly very popular among Social Security recipients. And a lot of Social Security recipients make the point that, you know, the money they're getting, at least in part, in Social Security monthly benefits, is their money. You know, it's money that they put in the system. And so they feel like they've already been taxed on that money. So getting the Social Security benefits without paying taxes is something that they would like to get. There's a lot of battling back and forth on the state and local tax exemptions. For some reason, they keep saying this benefits high-tax states, although it actually benefits taxpayers in all the states, because it gives taxpayers more opportunity to deduct state and local taxes from their federal taxes. So all of these things are popular, but at the same time, you know, they reduce federal revenue. And when you reduce federal revenue at a time that you have a $1.8 trillion deficit, that's another problem, because Trump has also promised that he would get rid of the deficit and start cutting the national debt. And I can tell you that's not happening. So because no matter how much they cut, they're not going to get rid of a $1.9 trillion deficit. And that's what you have to do to start whittling the national debt down. And it's not going to happen. The Elon Musk cuts, for example, are supposedly going to produce about $163 billion in cuts. But at the same time, they're talking about increasing defense spending and spending in Homeland Security of about that same amount of money. So you know, if that in effect happens, then, you know, it won't have any effect basically on the federal deficit. The deficit will continue to stay about what it is.
Yeah, there's been a lot of interesting conversation. I brought this up earlier with Michael Heck about moving back to the old model relative to Medicaid financing. And I keep bringing this up, and I know people probably think I'm crazy because I do so. But in our state, when you have 32% of people on Medicaid, anytime you tweak this a little bit, I think the outcome's going to be relatively dire consequences, I think is a fair statement. And I'm kind of curious, you know, because they're saying they could stomach a $500 billion reduction in Medicaid over the next 10 years, which would be about a $50 billion reduction annually. But nobody's really talking about how that's going to be implemented and what programs it's going to appear in. But nonetheless, when you have one third of your population on Medicaid, something bad is going to happen. There's no doubt about it.
Sure. And, you know, one of the things I learned as a legislator was the danger of matching funds. You know, it's very easy to pass legislation where you say, well, the state will match money from the federal government, or local governments will match money from state government, and that's a partnership, and everybody works together, you can get things done. But it also really confuses and complicates the whole revenue structure of government. And Medicaid is the primary example. I believe Medicaid in most states, if not all states, is the number one spending category right now. That wasn't the case some years back, but it is now, and it's going up. And of course, it's attracting and matching a lot of federal money, but it's still costing the states a lot of money. And as you pointed out, any way you change those formulas or you change the way matching system works in reality is going to have a big impact on states. And Louisiana, a poor state with a lot of Medicaid recipients, would be affected probably more than anybody. So these are big issues. And And, of course, you have to keep in mind that, you know, the top two majority members of the House are from Louisiana, Mike Johnson and Steve Scalise. So you know, from a Louisiana perspective, I would think they will be working to protect the state. But they've got some big fish to fry here. And
you know, it's interesting you brought up the match because you're so right. States have gone about creating these exotic financing schemes. CMS has approved them over the years, not just Louisiana, all states are doing
right.
it, which is diminishing the amount of money that the state is putting up. And Republicans are now having these conversations about trying to, when it first started, it was like a 50-50 split. And they're trying to get it back to maybe the states putting up 30 or 40%. Well, the reality is, when you do the math in this state couldn't afford getting to 30%. I don't think they could hit that number. I don't know where they would find the money.
Yeah,
I think
agree.
It's available.
Right. I don't know how they could hit that number either, because at the same time, you know, the current trend is pretty strong, and that is less federal money for state and local governments. And when you look at money for state governments, you have to also look at money for local governments, because oftentimes, when local governments have fiscal needs, they immediately run to state governments to get it. So you're going to have a big squeeze here in the state and local government financing that's coming along, and that's going to have a big impact on the future. And just what you said, you know, if the state had to pick up, you know, billions more to keep Medicaid going, that would be really rough. And on the state budget, and on the other side of the coin, is when you have a state with a high poor population, a high population that qualifies for Medicaid, and you take them off of that health insurance, it causes other problems. So yeah, Louisiana is in a potential fix, as are states all over the country.
Let's get to a break. When we come back, we'll pivot to the Louisiana legislature. Interesting bill put forward, Ron, by Representative Matthew Willard, while we're talking about finances, wanting to increase the homestead exemption to $125,000 and allowing the governing authority of each parish to decide whether or not they're willing to do that. We'll talk about the political ramifications and implications of same as well when we return with Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Stay with us.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. We're going to pivot to the Louisiana legislature. There's a bill that's making its way through committees, the House Ways and Means Committee, advancing House Bill 271 by State Rep Matthew Willard, that would call for an amendment to the Constitution to allow up to $125,000 homestead exemption. That would need the additional $50,000 would need to be approved by the governing authority. Your thoughts, Ron?
Well, I think that would, you know, it looks like a tax cut, but in some ways it's not, and I don't think it's a wise idea to do this. Essentially, we already have the first $75,000 of the fair market value of homes exempted from property taxes. Okay. And at the time that was passed in 1980, as I recall, the average price of a house in Louisiana was about $40,000. Now it's about $200,000. So the point is that, well, we're just raising it with inflation, but in effect, that really isn't the full story. The full story is that when you're looking at property taxes, first of all, Louisiana is state government is not in the property tax business. It's local governments that are. So you're affecting local government revenues, but even that, you're not cutting the revenues. You're moving the revenues around. For example, if you have a $200,000 house, it would lower the tax from $75,000 in value, but the value between $125,000 and $200,000, or if it's a $300,000 house, $300,000, the tax will go up because of the way the millages are adjusted. So it's really not much of a tax cut, and it would come at a time when state government and local government are trying to figure out how are they going to deal with lower revenues, as we were just talking about, and if you want to have tax cuts, you really should use them to build the economy. And what this would do is basically put more taxes on business, and it would make it more difficult to attract business to the state. And it also will create a whole lot of elections. You know, you're going to have a statewide election to approve it, and it probably would approve. And then you'd have to have 64 elections in all these parishes to approve it. And I would dare say most of the parishes would vote to approve it. And it would just create a whole lot of effort and unnecessary change that really wouldn't necessarily benefit anybody very much, and would continue and kind of build in some of the inequities of the current system. So I'm not sure that's such a good idea. It sounds like an idea that politicians who are looking to do something, you know, to enrich themselves with, not enrich themselves, but enhance their popularity, would do before an election, but I'm not sure it makes a whole lot of sense. But it very well could pass.
Well, I think you're right, and I think he's running for one of the city council positions, if my memory serves me correct. But when you give this local option, you know, what we've heard from folks is that, you know, things are very difficult because we got so many different taxes and so many different jurisdictions. And here we are, we're going in the opposite direction, right? Right now it's a $75,000 across the board in the state of Louisiana. You don't get a local option. Right. It is what it is. And as you said, I mean, this would destroy local government and financing. I mean, they would have to get very creative. And the moment you start setting up these exotic tax schemes, you're in trouble. This is right. The most stable tax there is, right?
Sure. And outside of sales tax, it's about the only one, you know, for local governments. But, you know, the idea of the homestead exemption originally and through the 60s and 70s was, you know, when the average home price was in the $40,000 range, in effect, it said, we're going to take you off the rolls. You know, you're just not going to pay anything if we have that. But this really isn't, you know, it's going to take a few more houses off the rolls, but it's going to increase taxes beyond that point. And since a lot of homes are now worth, like we pointed out, over $200,000, it's going to decrease part of their tax obligation, but it's going to increase part of their tax obligation. And it's one of these sort of political trick boxes that I'm not sure works very well.
Now, I can't imagine local government's really happy with this option, because it'll cost a lot of people their position when you come out opposed to this thing.
Sure.
I think you're right. Sure. I think the constitutional issues, it'll pass overwhelmingly.
Sure. And a better solution, frankly, is for local governing authorities to look harder at millage roll-up and roll-back. So when the millages are adjusted, they demand the entities of local government to justify those increased revenues, which I think would be more effective than trying to do this.
No doubt. No doubt, for sure. As always, we totally appreciate your time, your insight. Thank you so much, sir. Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Have a great week.
Thank you.
We'll be right back, folks. We'll check in with Scoot to see what he has coming your way when we return.